Hello, this is the Tripe Supper, our Borough podcast, and we're looking back to that frustrating draw with Rotherham on Tuesday night. Phil, me and you were there, first things first, but what did you make of it?
I mean, I don't think anyone would pretend it was a great game of football, was it? The first half was disappointing because of Borough's... I don't know, I've said this before, I do feel as though teams turn up to the Riverside expecting a really, really tough evening or afternoon. They rate Borough highly. They're wary of the players that Borough have, and yet it seems to me, and this goes back into Aitor Karanka's time at the club as well, it feels as though Borough give them a chance to find their feet in a match, and suddenly after 25-30 minutes the opposition believe actually we might be able to get something here, and they start lifting their game, and then Borough suddenly in a battle. And you kind of, I know it's easy to say Borough should just come out all guns blazing, but I mean you've mentioned it before, Dom, about a seeming lack of intensity. I also feel that while I have no problem Borough playing wing backs, do they necessarily need three centre backs against a team that's going to play one up front? So I think there is issues around Borough's maybe mindset going into games, because they clearly got the players to beat most teams in this division. I've said that before and I'll maintain that. The game itself, as I say, first half was very poor. It was a spectacle, very disappointing. Braithwaite should have scored, of course. I think Britt didn't have the easiest of nights again, and the lack of support at times was poor. But when he looks like a player who's suddenly lacking a little bit of confidence when he does get a chance. Second half, Borough with a better team, they started pressing, and yet there was a curious lack of end product about them. A curious, I don't know, the feeling that they can't, you know. They should be able to put a team like Rotherham to bed. And I know Rotherham were well organised and they came looking to do a number on Borough, and but their record is pretty woeful away from home. Let's not beat about the bush.
2.5 years since the last one away at this level.
The other thing I would say is, you know, Borough are top of the table. You know, whether or not they stay there before the weekend remains to be seen. But what I would say is that any team that wins promotion has nights like that, you know, Tuesday night. You know, Borough had them when they won promotion the last time. You know, teams,
and the time before that. You know, and the time before that.
That's true, but equally, you can't paper over the fact that it's now three games without a goal.
No.
And Borough, you know, you only have to look at the goals for column to realise that Borough do have a problem going forward.
I don't think
Pulis is open about that. It's absolutely clear.
I don't think Borough have played particularly well since the first international break.
I think they're
still in that little bit of a slump, whatever you want to call it. You know, there are moments when they're very good. You know, there was a little bit of a cameo from Burr in the second half against Sheffield Wednesday when they suddenly looked very, very formidable.
But same at Ipswich
for a 20-minute spell when they absolutely wiped the floor with Ipswich, and then sort of Burr switched off and Ipswich were allowed to get back into the game, but by then it was too late.
At half time against Rotherham, it was very, very similar to Hillsborough on Friday night in this very flat, grim first half, really, wasn't it? And you thought, Borough are going to have to go through the gears here, like they did at Sheffield Wednesday. But they didn't. And I think that, you know, that Rudy Gestede came off the bench, Jordan Hugel came off the bench. The last 10-15 minutes, it was hopeful balls forward, wasn't it? And hoping it bounces for you in the box. But Rotherham gobbled those up.
Well, there is
Borough lack a... I mean, it's easy to say the plan B, but I'd say a few people pointed out last night, and I certainly agree with it, that should you have someone like Marcus Tavernier on the bench, something a bit different? We saw on the first day of the season at Millwall that his kind of direct running and urgency can change a game.
Well, you've seen, you know, I know you're going to go to Vic in a second, but we've seen, haven't we, you know, Forrest was the same. When Borough need to get something out of the game with 15, 20 minutes to go, it's very much a plan of Pulis's to put the big lad on, put Gestede up front and go along and test the opposition, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Who are we to argue what's the best formula? I completely get the argument that there's no need to have as many defensive players on the bench as Borough did on Tuesday night against a team like Rotherham. When you've got, are there certainly room on a 7-man bench to have a Tavernier, for example? He put him on with 15-20 minutes to go with his exuberance, his pace and his energy and his self-belief. He would frighten a fullback who's tired, who's out on his legs a little bit after a 60, 70, 80 minute run around from a Stuart Downing or whoever. He would be an obvious impact sub. But Tony Pulis would probably argue, I've spent 60, 70 minutes trying to get wide, trying to get round the back of teams and getting the ball over. I want to go a different way. So
it was interesting, wasn't it? The Watton said after the game that he was more. He knew Borough were going to look to get it wide and look to get the crosses in. He was more than happy to let them do that, but it basically put it on the centre halves. Be men was the term he used, and deal with it. And they did, didn't they? And Pulis pointed out the 49 crosses, I think he was, that said that came in. But how many of them created clear cut opportunities?
No, there wasn't many. And the other thing, going back to you know, talking about Borough's, you know, crosses, set pieces, and things like that. I think Vic's mentioned it before. For the height that Borough have in set pieces, and you know, Pulis gets them forward at virtually every opportunity. There was times when there was only Clayton back on the halfway line when Borough were pressing in the final third from a set piece or a corner or a long throw, what have you. How many of those balls actually find the head of a Borough player, given the fact that they've got normally a big height advantage?
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, I think it's the nature of the beast. If you're up at the top of the table and you're playing a team that's seen as a lesser team, they're going to set out to stop you playing. They're going to stop you doing what you do best. And that's whatever level you play at. I mean, if Borough were drawn away at Man City or Arsenal in the Cup, they would do exactly the same when they went away. And yes, you have to find a way around it. And from the beginning of the season, from the moment, even before the window closed, Tony Pulis was saying, we haven't got this type of player. So it's not a secret. It's not as if he's persisting with a problem and hasn't seen it. I mean, quite clearly, they are aware. But the fundamental thing in football, that there is another team on the pitch that's trying to stop you doing what you do. And every promotion campaign is littered with nights like this. Last year, I mean, Wolves, you know, by common consensus, steamroller the division. Well, I mean, they struggled to a 0-0 draw at home to Sunderland, who were actually woeful at the time. And I think they had 17 1-0 wins. So that is this division. You have to find a way of getting those 1-0 wins. We know how Tony Pulis is going to play. It's almost a futile argument to get him to suddenly implement some kind of artistic, creative, free-flowing cavalier football, because that's not what he's about. He's about functional football. And in a campaign like this, we're going to have a dozen games like that. I mean, you could argue, right, we've probably had six of them already, and sometimes that feels like hard work. But cast your mind back to the Karanka promotion campaign. You know, for 3 or 4 months at a time, sometimes it was soul-sapping how functional and predictable the games were. But he got over the line.
For all that, though, and I completely agree with the functional Tony Pulis argument, he's frustrated.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because Borough aren't scoring as many goals as what he thinks they should. So, and this question's been asked of him over and over and over. It was put to Stuart Downing last night, and he used the word repetition. How do you solve this problem that Pulis is talking about every single week? Win, lose or draw, because he talked about it at Hillsborough on Friday night when they'd won, and obviously on Tuesday night when they'd drawn. How do you start scoring more goals?
Well, he would say that it's putting the chances away, because he mentioned the 49 crosses this time. I think there was a game, Swansea game, where I think he said it was 34 balls across the face of the goal and into the box, and he puts the onus on the strikers to get a touch on one of them. And
so how do they start? Because it's not
clearly he's not going to change the approach.
He's got strikers there.
Well, I've always believed.
Scored at this level. Britta Sombolonga's got an unrivalled record at this level. Gusted scored at this level. Hugel's
well,
never
we've
been
said it
prolific,
for years.
But he's sure he can score at this level. So how do you get them scoring?
Well, you know, if you're going to play a way that Pulis plays, and he'll go back to the people like, if you read your books about tactics, you know, Charles Reap and all that kind of thing, about percentage of balls in box versus conversion rates, go along and you're going to score so many goals, versus the number of balls you get forward and all that kind of thing. He's a believer in that school of thought, and there's a logic to it. If you put the ball in the box often enough, one time out of so many, you're going to get a head on it that's going to direct it towards goal, or a foot on it. So that's the kind of theory. And I don't disagree with that necessarily. Graham Taylor, for example, was hugely successful with that kind of football. Tony Pulis has been successful throughout his career, although it's a lot more unfashionable now. Borough's best chance against Rotherham came with a lovely slick move through the middle of the pitch. Bessage's ball forward, Howson's lovely first time ball released Braithwaite, he should have scored.
And another where Bessage played in Braithwaite, yeah, he squared for us on the long.
Yeah, so Borough can go through the middle as well, and they'd look very good doing so occasionally. If you're going to put balls in the box, it strikes me, particularly from open play, so you haven't necessarily got a Flint or an Ayala forward, it strikes me as blindingly obvious that you've got to get bodies in there. And, you know, I've had this argument about Aitor Karanka, Vic just mentioned there. How many times did Aitor Karanka come out and say, well, we had enough shots? And when you look at the shot count, actually, there was probably two or three on target in an entire 90-minute match at home. You ain't going to score that many goals if that's all you can achieve. To me, if you're getting 30, 40, 50 balls in towards the box, the problem's who's in the box waiting for it. And I
well,
just
it's
think,
usually nine opposition defenders.
Well, that's the first thing.
I think I've looked.
Well, that's the first thing. The opposition know you're going to do that.
Yeah.
So they're prepared for it. And most championship clubs have big, solid, hard-working central defenders and keepers who know how to deal with that. Secondly, you're going to have to weigh the numbers more favourably. You're going to have Britta Sombolong is not fat 6 foot. So, and he's not an aerial header ball striker. So you think, well, if you're going to go that way, you need a Hugel in there with a Sombolonga, and you probably need a third player in there as well, in and around the edge of the 6 yard box penalty area, that kind of space. It's just pure logic, isn't it? And if the striker hits the first defender, if the cross hits the first defender, well, that's the winger's fault or the fullback's fault who's whipped it in. Far too often, players like Sombolonga are just left too exposed. He gets the blame every time, and Hugel got the blame against Nottingham Forest. They had a thankless task on those occasions. You know, Hugel, everyone says, oh, he went down easy. The lad was running, he's probably out on his legs. Yeah. He hasn't had a pre-season. He's playing up front on his own against very, very experienced defenders like Dawson and people like that. And he's just struggling. And so, if you play that kind of football, you have to give yourself a better chance of winning the odds.
I mean, part of the reason for the stats being so high is that the Tony Pulis philosophy is get the ball in the box quickly. I mean, last time we were in this situation, the Aitor Karanka philosophy was keep the ball. So the frustrating thing last time was that Borough would keep possession 30 yards out and pass 20, 30 times side to side, waiting for an opening. Arguably the Pulis side the approach is more direct. Get it wide and get it in the box quickly. But you run the risk then, if you're putting the ball into the box where the opposition are set out and prepared, and the defender will always have an advantage in that because they're sat back.
Waiting
they can
the
see the whole of the vista of play. They can see the trajectory of the ball, and they can attack it front on. Whereas the attackers coming the other way are looking over their shoulder, so there's a little fractional difference. So the odds are swung in the favour of the defence. He knows that, but he's making the action happen in the box. Now, it's not pretty. I mean, you mentioned the stats and Charles Reap and the position of maximum opportunity, but that is the way he plays. We know that the skill set of the strikers isn't ideal for the way he plays. So presumably, his thinking is, we'll get the system drilled in, we'll get people used to playing this way, and in January, we can sort it by changing that skill set.
You mentioned there the skill set of the strikers. I was going to touch on that. He signed Hugel.
Yeah, he did. And I think Hugel is probably the most Pulis-like striker that they've got on the books. I mean, he plays with his back to the goal. He's willing to take a battering. He holds it up. He obviously needs someone to work off him. I don't think Braithwaite's getting close enough. I don't think Britta Sombolonga has the instinct to work in that way. And that's one of your problems, is that you haven't got two or three people that fully complement each other up front. But you've got to work with what you've got. In an ideal world, you might have a bigger, more mobile target man, which is Rudy Gestet, with more pace to attack and get behind defenders and stretch them and pull them out. But with the best will in the world, I don't think he's mobile enough to play that in the ideal way.
Do you think he'll look to bring in a striker in January, or will he look to bring in players who can play off the strikers that he's got?
I think there's an argument you've already got that bunch of midfielders that can do that if they're pushed further up. We know that they want width, and then you say, well, with width, you put more crosses in. Well, we know that that's almost not the problem. A more accurate crosses, maybe, but the real problem is that not getting the movement in the box because the defence is sitting back. So then you end up having to say, well, how do we get behind them? or do you sit back a bit more and try and drag the defence out to create space?
Well, I mean, I think in January, he's clearly made so many obvious hints that he wants width. His target, I mean, January's a terrible time to sign players anyway. You tend to get players who are unsettled at clubs for the wrong reasons, or that are at clubs that don't want to sell good players. So I think it's going to be very hard to get a quality of wide player that he's looking for that's going to improve the team. I mean, Pulis will say, and he's right to say, you know, Borough did create a gilt-edged chance against Forest that if that goes in, it's 1-1. Yeah, you know.
And they hit the bar as well.
They create a gilt-edged chance last night, on Tuesday night. It's... But then I think if you're only creating one good chance in a match, you're kind of hostage to fortune, aren't you?
If you play this functional football and you win 1-0, everyone goes away saying, well, that was rubbish, but they're happy because they've won 1-0.
I don't have a problem with Friday night's win at Sheffield Wednesday. That was a tough match against a form team on their patch. And yes, the first half was poor. Everyone would admit it was poor, wasn't good enough. But Borough won away at Sheffield Wednesday. Not many teams will do that this season, I would imagine. And certainly not, Leeds struggle, for example, to get a result there. So they're the kind of results that you build promotion campaigns on. I think we have seen a pattern since, as I said, the first international break, that Borough are starting to play a little bit more like they did at times last season and resemble the team from last season and become a team that doesn't quite know exactly what it's about. And I think it does feel, to an extent, going back to what we were talking about in terms of bodies in the box and things like that, that it almost is a style of football where you think, play Hugel and Justed up front together to have maximum annoyance impact on the opposition. And that, you know, big lads who will give centre-backs a torrid evening or afternoon. At the moment, you kind of think, well, if you're a centre-back and Burr have got most of their players outside the final third, it's going to be easy to look after Britt because he's not that sort of striker. So Tony Pulis will be looking it long and hard about. As Vic says, there are players, midfielders, who can support. You know, that's why you have a Saville. He's a sort of goal-scoring midfielder, isn't he?
Were you surprised with that in mind that he didn't bring him on Tuesday night? Because he's the type of player who you would think can pick the lock from midfield and find that kind of pass that maybe others can't?
A little bit. I mean, as I say, it goes back to this, what does Tony Pulis do with 25 minutes to go if the result isn't what he wants? He's shown, hasn't he, that he'll put on a Justed. He'll reshape the team to almost go to, you know, three up front all the time and just hit balls to them and try and win knockdowns. So I'm not surprised in that respect because he tends not to go that way. I don't think he looks to unlock a defence in the final 20 minutes by playing through them. I think, which is why you would send a Saville on, isn't it, I think?
Martin Braithwaite is in everything we've discussed there, is very much the key man, isn't he? Because he's the one who makes things happen between midfield and attack. And when he's probably the only one Borough have got, obviously we've seen that Stewie can play there. But Braithwaite's the one who has been the link-up man. And yet he hasn't looked the player that we know he can be since that first international break.
Well, the first six games he was the main man. He was the creative force. He was the one that was making little intelligent touches and moves and finding pockets of space and knitting it all together. Since he was sat in the departure lounge for a couple of games, he hasn't been the player that he was, but arguably the rest of the team haven't either. And they have lost some of the impetus and the high intensity of that, you know, the post-Austrian fitness burst where they were dominating games through sheer physicality and athleticism. And for me, that's been the real problem, is not so much the shape or the individuals. I think it's the intensity in games. Yep. Now, that might be partly because other teams are deliberately slowing it and stopping Borough doing that, but that to me is where the problem is. If they could bring that intensity and tempo to games, I think they should still be bossing them.
Because to me, Braithwaite, Phil, he doesn't look like a player who's not committed to the cause. No. On Tuesday night, he was busy. There was a moment quite early on that caught my eye where a Rotherham defender had it, and he kind of scurried over from nowhere and robbed it off his foot when it was a lost cause that he didn't really have to chase. But he just ran himself into so many dark alleys, I thought, and, yeah. and almost as though, I mean, not trying too hard, but was trying to force it when it wasn't happening. And there was a couple of times where he went down and got fouled, and you could tell that his frustration was bubbling over a little bit. Does he need a match-winning performance somewhere almost to spark him back into life, do you think? Do you persist with him? Do you keep him in there?
I certainly think you keep him in there, because I think, as you say, he's probably that one player, certainly at the start of the season, who was the standout player alongside maybe the Downing as well. We both stepped up to the plate after Adama left and gave Borough that little bit of creativity. And they do frighten the opposition. You know, he's a hard player. He must be a hard player to mark, Braithwaite, because he
should be a cut above it.
I think the question marks as to why he's still playing at second tier football at his age, when he's clearly got so much talent. And I worry that, you know, there's this little... There will be a lingering thing between him not going. You know, everyone's human. If you think you're going to leave a particular employee in August and you virtually think it's nailed on, and then you've got to come back and try to pick up the form that you had before, it's not always that easy. Obviously, there's the relationship with Tony Pulis. They've had chats before. I think it sounds like it's quite a mature relationship where they can basically be honest with each other and frank with each other. And Pulis has been pretty honest to us, hasn't he, about the relationship with Braithwaite, and he's sat him down and spoken about
things.
Well,
he said, didn't he, it's not as though he's counting down the months till January. No. Pulis said he'll be here until the end of the season.
But it's interesting he's mentioned January, because, you know, if Borough get a decent offer for him in January, will he go then? You know, I don't think they can afford to lose him at the moment. I think Borough would be a weaker side moving forward without Martin Braithwaite. Just going back to the point before about, you know, Borough's intensity and things, I think it took so much early in the season from that win over Sheffield United. I think that was a huge confidence boost right at the right time. They'd been awful at Millwall for an hour, hadn't they? Got that late equaliser, got that result. And I think that wave of optimism added to the wins over Bristol City and things like that led into the Leeds game, where they looked a real titanic outfit, you know, a really big, strong. I wasn't at the Leeds game, but I remember watching some of it on a big screen in a pub, funny enough. And Middlesbrough in the bright red kit just looked so imposing, so physically imposing, and they exuded belief. And I think they've lost a little bit of that since. And they're starting to look, as I said before, a little bit like last season's team. That's again, you know, we're not quite sure what the best ways for them to play and to approach games. But I do think that is a good point about the lack of intensity, and certainly in the first 20 minutes. Because I think you sometimes need to take the crowd with you as well.
Yeah.
And you know, that last night it was a windy sort of quite cold. It was like one of those games where at the start of the season you think Rotherham midweek, that's going to be a bit meh. And so you think, let's have a good start, let's get into the game, let's you know, rattle in some shots, test their keeper, put them on the back foot. And I think, as I say, I think Borough gave Rotherham a chance to find their feet in the game.
It's funny, isn't it, because, you know, Pulis talked about the lack of a cutting edge last night, the need to take chances, and he was asked, if that continues, can you win promotion straight? And he kind of considered his answer, didn't he, and then said, we're 14 games in and we're top of the league, so we'll take that. And it's true that it's a lovely place to be kind of picking out the points of concern while you're top. But equally, you look at that table, and I think QPR now within 6 points of Borough in 11th, you do look at it, and there is a niggling sense of frustration in that you can almost get blinded by the table now and think, well, we're still top, everything's still tickety-boo, but Borough could have a bit of breathing space now, and you just hope that in time to come they're not made to regret. Maybe some daft points slip the ball. It might be that they kick on and they truly kick on from a position of strength. But they could have a bit of a buffer behind them, couldn't they?
Yeah, but there'd be three or four other teams that probably say the same. I mean, Leeds would be going through the same kind of dilemma now, having won the league in August. There has been a wobble, but I think you have to remember that they didn't lose. It wasn't a great performance, but they are still ahead of the rest of the pack. And this is still a division in flux. You know, there's a lot of players I think haven't quite bedded in yet. You know, the ones that arrived on the loan deadline day didn't do Austria. I think they might be slightly out of sync. I mean, he's mentioned before that Bezic is only just now getting up to speed. Saville won't be up to full speed because he's not getting all the pitch time. McNair, McQueen. Now, I do think that's something that can evolve over the course of the season as he gets players more involved. I'm not overly worried. I think most promotion campaigns are like this. All the ones I can remember have been sticky and jerky at times. Even if you think back 20 years ago to the Paul Merson season, at this stage of the season, we were having the exact same discussions. They weren't quite right.
We were playing catch-up,
the balance wasn't right. They were still weak at the back, and we weren't getting the best out of Merson. I think sometimes you're guilty of thinking that there's a perfect solution or a perfect framework, or this is what we should be doing. Actually, football's not like that. You know, it is jerky. It is week to week. Things do change all the time, and as long as you're on track and you keep on banking the points as you're trying to solve the problems, then that's all you can really ask for.
I think it's what it's. I didn't predict this at the start, so I'm not being wise after the event. It's starting to look like the most open championship for a long, long time, and certainly since probably going back to that season where Hulk were promoted when Borough, I think it was the season Borough finished seventh.
And Birmingham were ninth, though.
You know, yeah. It could conceivably anybody in that top half just about could end up sneaking in the playoffs and getting up that way. There aren't two teams at the moment threatening to run away with it, like Wolves and Cardiff, for example, did eventually last season. Off, you know, so somebody might emerge from the pack, and that might well be Middlesbrough. They certainly look as capable of it as anybody. But it is probably going to be like this now. Maybe it's up till Christmas, unless one team really grasps the nettle. And
that was
flies.
The point I was trying to make. I think Borough have the potential to be that team.
Yeah.
And I think that's the frustration. We saw in the first chunk of the season that they are powerful enough. You know, they've got a squad that any manager would love to have.
I mean, sometimes you fall on the solution by accident.
Yeah,
don't you?
George Friend said as much.
Well, Borough's End and Stewie Downing back in the day.
Yeah.
That kind of... I think the thing is, I'm not quite sure, I think I said this the last time when we talked, I'm not quite sure which Borough we're going to see. Well, you know, eventually this season, is it going to be the first six matches Borough, or is it going to be the second six matches Borough? And I'm still not convinced, because I see a little bit of both in them. But at the moment, the pattern is that they're more like the team that played the second set of fixtures after the first international break than they are like the first team. So that's a challenge for Tony Pulis, to get that belief back in the players and to start, you know, playing with a little bit of a swag. I enjoyed watching Borough in the first six games. You know, whatever you think of, you know, the myth about Pulis ball or anything else, I thought Borough were good to watch. I thought, you know, you fancied Borough to win every match they turned up for. There was some exciting football. The players looked really up for it. And I'd like to see them recapture that sort of belief again.
Just bounce through a couple of subjects quickly before we wrap up. Darren Randolph, a couple of massive saves on Tuesday night. Is there a keeper in the Championship who you'd rather have? He's got to be up there as the best.
I certainly don't have any qualms about Randolph as a keeper. There's nobody out there who jumps out and says, you know, we should have him, he's going to make a big difference.
He's made some massive saves, going back last season as well, especially in the first half of the season.
Especially when sometimes, you know, he's not particularly busy for long spells.
Last night.
And then, you know, it's about keeping your concentration and being alert and keeping your head in the game and doing it when you have to. And I don't think anyone can question that.
And Ryan Shotton's injury, we're not clear yet as to how serious it is, the extent of it, but that's a worry, isn't it?
Well, Vic's losing sleep over it, as we know.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a load of I Heart Shots t-shirts for Christmas.
Pulis sounded concerned, didn't he?
Yeah.
He said that we missed him.
It's always a worry when you've got a knee injury as well, because sometimes they can reveal more than you first think once the swelling settles down and they have a look at that. I think he got pilloried, didn't he, after the Forest match, which I thought was grossly unfair. He had one, he did have an iffy game against Forest, but I think he's been one of Borough's most consistent performers this season. He's looked good when he's gone forward, he's got that incredible throw, he's physically imposing, he speaks nicely in front of a microphone. What more do you want from a player? He would be a loss, because he seems comfortable in that role, and I think Borough's record, touch wood, and I'm touching wood here, by the way, it's been fantastic keeping the players on the pitch. You know, you look at some Leeds, for example, have got three or four senior players out, haven't they? They just have had. So, I mean, you know, you wouldn't like to think Borough would lose three or four players through the spine of the team. That could have a seriously detrimental effect, even though it's a big squad. So, I think, you know, hats off to the medical department, and just fingers crossed that Shots is okay.
Yeah, Pulis has praised the medical team, haven't he, on a couple of occasions this season when he's had the chance. Well, cheers, fellas. Thank you. Derby on Saturday. Hopefully, we'll get back to winning ways there. A home win?
Well, I think Derby will probably suit Borough. They'll come out, they'll play, there'll be more space, and maybe we'll see that the other Borough that Phil was talking about.
They've been officially renamed Frank Lampard's bar. I can't even spit it. No.
Well, that's usually the sign that we've got. Cheers, fellas. Thank you.